Hey y'all, it's Brittany.
And it's Clay.
This was recorded on Friday, February 23rd at around 2:25 in the afternoon, so some things may have changed by the time you listen to this, but we have a lot to share with you.
We do. Brittany, this is an exciting week coming up. The legislature probably second only to sine die. What is happening next Thursday at the General Assembly?
Well, Clay, it is crossover, and we have gotten here extremely quickly. Just for those on the that are listening, just a reminder, crossover is when a bill has to originate from one house and crossover into the other house. And I think we're going to see a flurry of bills in the next three legislative days. They're in next week, Monday and Tuesday, and then they're going to take a committee day on Wednesday, and then Thursday they go back in, and that will be the 28th day of session. And if a bill doesn't cross over by that day from one chamber to the other, it's going to have to find a rider to be able to be heard in the last 12 days of session.
So in other words, it's Thursday night will be a long night like sine die is. If a bill doesn't pass, you know, this is the state in which we film The Walking Dead, and things can come back to life and be attached to a bill that does cross over, as long as it's of the same subject matter. Nothing's truly dead until sine die, right?
Let's just hope we don't have to eat any brains to keep anything walking.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Don't you feel like your brain gets eaten sometimes?
Sometimes.
Well, what are the big bills? Obviously, everybody will get our bill tracker to see all the bills that are moving, but what are the big ones to talk about this week?
So big ones to talk about is one we've really been tracking over the summer that's not tax legislation. It's dealing with fixing Senate Bill 115 that passed last year. And so we're dealing with public trust doctrine and House Bill 1172. And that actually is supposed to be on the House floor on Monday. And we have a companion bill in the Senate. It's Senate Bill 542. And again, that's addressing the public trust doctrine concerns that our members have. These are bills that we do support, and for all intents and purposes, we look for them to move and pass. It's been a lot of long committee meetings on them, but at this point, I think where they're sitting, we're going to be better off than we are currently sitting with what passed last session.
Sure. Last session, in the very waning moments of the session, Senate Bill 115 passed and included this public trust doctrine language, which would create some doubts as to your property rights if you have a facility on a navigable stream or waterway. And this bill eliminates all those confusing references. It does still have some language in it. It's not a perfect bill, but it is a definite improvement. And I, from what I understand, Brittany, Senate Bill 542, the Senate companion, has now been pretty much aligned with the House bill. So it sounds like if one of them passes, this is the bill we'll get. Encourage our members to look at it. Have your council look at it. Our environmental council, has looked at it and agrees that it's definitely an improvement over what passed last year.
That's right, Clay. And, you know, in the sprint to this upcoming Thursday, we have a whole slew of tax bills coming. I think I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. I just really applaud our tax council and our legislative and policy council for all their work on a large handful of tax bills. And specifically, just real quick to update the audience on House Bill 1181. This is the carry forward bill. And we're very fortunate enough to work with Chairman Martin and Chairman Blackmun to get some language in the bill that clarifies the carry forward start period. In the original bill that was dropped initially, it did not have language in it that explained the carry forward option of when it started. I mean, there was language in there, but it just wasn't in black and white. And in the world that we all live in, we like to have language in black and white so that nothing is ever implied. Right. And to both chairmen's credit, they got some language in there that covers our members so that if you're, let's just take an example, if you've got a tax credit that you're carrying forward that you started, let's just say yesterday, it's going to continue for the full 10 years. Whereas if you start one on January 1st of 2025, then it's 5 years. The other nice thing about House Bill 1181 is, you know, all of our R&D credits, our sales tax exemptions, everything is protected. It's not included in this bill. They didn't touch it, which, again, is a testament to our members who came and testified and helped us prepare over the summer to really make a case as to why those were important to stay on the books, so to speak. And I just think that this is, for all intents and purposes of what we went through this summer, this is a good bill. Now, yeah. I say all that to say, when we get to the Senate, who knows what happens to it?
Sure.
We'll fight the fight over there, too.
Well, it sounds like the downside is that, if there is a downside, is that these carry forward periods for these income tax credits, many of them have been reduced from 10 to 5 years. But like you said, for tax years 2024 and before, you still get the 10-year carry forward. It really doesn't start until 2025. And don't forget that some of the tax credits, not all of them, but some of them you can take against withholding. And for that, that sort of gets you around the problem of having a reduced carry forward period. So, yeah, overall, I mean, that is a tremendous victory, and a big thanks to our members, our tax council, and our legislative and public policy council.
One bill that's also extremely important, I think, to our members, and House Bill 1023, and this is Chairman Bruce Williamson's bill. And what this does is it matches the corporate income tax rate to the personal income tax rate. And if the audience will recall, we had a bill that is passed that lowers the personal income tax rate from 5.49 to 5.39. And so what this would do would match the corporate income tax rate to that.
So the House already passed that bill. It's sitting over in the Senate. If it ultimately passed, we would want House Bill 1023 to pass as well, so that the corporate rate aligns with whatever they decide the personal income tax rate should be. So yeah, that would be a tax cut for our members. But we certainly will have to continue to be involved and diligent as these negotiations continue. So it's a very challenging process. We're very lucky to have you over there putting your thumb on the scale for GAM. So we really do appreciate
it. Well, I appreciate it. I find it fun.
Well, how about talk a little bit about tort reform?
Let's not.
I know, but we, as you recall, just backing up a little bit, the governor initially indicated an interest in pushing for some comprehensive tort reform that would benefit business and address Georgia's sort of declining judicial system rating. But then decided that he did not want to do that and wanted to take more of a slow train approach with it. And that hasn't stopped some members in the House and Senate from bringing forward some tort reform bills. There are a couple Senator Blake Tillery introduced that are pretty good bills, but they're not like fundamentally big changes. You know, they're things we can support. But this week, the House Judiciary Committee took up a couple of bills and rejected them.
Which was unusual.
Yeah, they took
the way
votes.
That they rejected them.
This week we had two bills that there was a do not pass motion that passed. So it's kind of the converse way of doing it, but you don't see that very often. Unfortunately, these were bills that would have made seatbelt usage evidence admissible, which it currently isn't in Georgia. And the other one, which GAM would be supportive of, is requiring disclosure of third-party litigation financing agreements. And you'll see this mentioned in our bill tracker. I think it's going to take sort of a much more comprehensive leadership effort over there at the Capitol to move some of those more fundamentally helpful bills on tort reform. Now, there is a good bill that has passed out, I believe, of the House and gone over to the Senate. That's House Bill 1114. That would allow the insurance commissioner to obtain additional information beyond what he or she normally obtains from insurers to help analyze the impact of frivolous tort litigation on the Georgia economy. So that's doesn't change anything substantive, but it does give maybe the insurance commissioner a vehicle to provide some useful data to demonstrate the importance of how tort reform in the future. Any other legislative matters you wanted to talk about before we moved along?
Yeah, just real quick on tort reform. You know, Senate Bill 186, which was a carryover bill from last year, dealing with premise liability did come out of committee, and I would like to note that that committee was not judicial, which was very unusual. It came out of insurance and labor. Now, will it pass in the House? We don't know. But it was a good bill, and it was kind of refreshing to see that move just a little bit of the needle over there in the Senate.
All right,
Well,
so one of your, go ahead.
Clay, I've got an extremely busy week next week, especially with it being crossover, but it's my understanding that you've got a very, very busy week at the PSC next week.
I do. While you're enjoying crossover day, I'll be enjoying the first of 2 days, at least 2 days, of the next round of hearings in the IRP update case. We distributed this week our testimony that was filed by Jeff Pollock on our behalf. I encourage everyone to read that. If you didn't get a copy, please let me know. We'll be there to defend that testimony and do a little bit of cross-examination on some of the points that other parties are making. This is the round of hearings in which the staff, the commission staff, and the interveners, so not all the parties except for Georgia Power, basically get to put up their testimony. And you'll be glad to know, Brittany, that the final round of hearings is on the March 27th and 28th. That's the rebuttal hearings, and on
Wonderful.
March 28th is sine die. So about a month
Yeah.
from now, we'll both be doing the same sort of dance together, and we won't be far apart, but we probably won't see each other. We'll
Well,
be right
Clay,
down.
I hope yours doesn't go into the wee hours of the morning.
I hope it doesn't too. But if anyone ever, I know we always invite people to come, tour the Capitol with you. That's always an open invitation to any of our members, and I offer you the same. If anybody's interested to come see the Public Service Commission, you can do so.
I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you for all your hard work down there and wish you
But
good luck and all the work Jeff puts in it too, as well as our Energy Council. So I really appreciate all the work you guys do
you
there.
bet. Thank you. It's an honor to do it for our members. So, I want to remind everyone about our spring meeting coming up. If you have not registered for it, please do. It's April 16th through the 19th at the Grand Hotel down at Point Clear, Alabama. We're going to have just an outstanding meeting, lots of fun. We're going to have great panels on anything from energy supply to sustainability to a CEO roundtable to Brittany's report on the legislature. We're going to actually, I think, the plan is to
Yeah.
record a version of this podcast while we're there, live before the audience. So
So we need
it's
lots of laughing, lots
lots
of
of laughing,
clapping.
applauding. Yeah, standing ovations are always welcome.
Well, nobody's going to see the standing ovation, Clay.
Well, we can we'll make comment about it, I guess,
I
so that
really
it's
appreciate you standing.
we'll make sure it's in the minutes. I think that is it, except for the fun part of trivia this week.
Woohoo!
Before we give this week's trivia question, let's congratulate Jennifer McKay of Solmax, who answered last week's question. The question was, of Georgia's 159 counties, what is the only county named for a woman in Georgia? And the answer is Hart, Hart County, which was named after Nancy Morgan Hart. She was a rebel heroine of the American Revolutionary War, noted for her exploits against loyalists in the Northeast Georgia backcountry.
Never mess with a
Jennifer.
strong woman.
No, I never would. I married one, and I am very glad that I did. This week's question is a little bit of geography, I think, Georgia geography. What Georgia area is referred to in the Seminole language as the land of the trembling earth? What Georgia area is referred to in the Seminole language as land of the trembling earth? And if anyone knows the answer, they can send it to me, cjones@gamfg.org, and we'll send you a prize. And we'll also give you a little background on why they refer to it as the land of the trembling earth. So I hope everyone enjoys that. We'll look forward to someone very quickly answering this one.
We have to thank Robert. We really do appreciate all that Robert does for us.
Yeah, it's good to have someone there to edit out all the profane comments.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And as always, should you need anything, please feel free to reach out. We're happy to chat.
Absolutely. And thank you again for your support out there. And Brittany, thanks for all you do. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the podcast.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.